This is the Adam Gold Show.
Looking at prospective universities as a high school junior, senior. I'm trying to remember when I actually started getting interested in where I wanted to go to school. One of my options was the University of Maryland. I was not a college basketball fan until I actually went to the University of Maryland. I had watched college basketball before, but I was more of a pro basketball guy. So I was already familiar growing up in the New York metropolitan area. I was already familiar with Buck Williams and Albert King of then the New Jersey Nets. Lo and behold, they went to the same school. The one I chose, University of Maryland, Buck Williams, Rocky Mountain, North Carolina native, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Sir, how you doing?
It's all good here, Adam. How about you, man?
I'm doing very well. Look, we sold a bunch of tickets the Nets gave me and a whole bunch of students at my high school. They gave us tickets to sell to raise money for the school. Man, we saw a bunch of your games from the nosebleeds at Brendan Byrne Arena.
Man, there was a lot of tickets floating around there when I played for the Nets.
No, man.
It wasn't too many sellouts there, but it was a good arena, and I enjoyed playing in the Meadowlands.
All right, so I guess it's a mutual friend or somebody that reached out to me on your behalf, because I did not know that, A, that you weren't in the Hall of Fame, and I did not know how comparable your resume, to use that phrase in this particular sense, how it compares so favorably to guys who are in the Hall. Nate Thurmans, Chris Webbers of the world, who are Hall of Famers. And you had a career that was not only outstanding at the pro level, but you were a dominant college player. Now, I know there are some students that took the ball and have run with this. So, but you're not really interested in promoting yourself. How come?
You know, Adam, it's so funny. When you're in the moment, you know, and you're trying to establish your career, you don't have time to think about these things. And then once you retire, everyone starts calling you and making a big deal of the Hall of Fame and everything. So, you know, Robert Clayton, who heads up the SACP, stands for the Sports Analytic Club Program, they called me and said, Buck, man, you know, we want to do an analytical analysis of your career, and we think you are well-deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. I'd never really given it much thought until these kids kind of put together this program. And once they put it together, they kind of convinced me, you know, hey, man, you need to start looking at, you know, thinking about being a Hall of Famer based on your numbers. So, you know, because of those kids, I think it's a great program that they have. I mean, these kids get an opportunity to work in your – if you're not, you know, can't play on the basketball court as a young kid, you can get into analytics because NBA use analytics. NFL use analytics. The MLB use analytics. And a good opportunity, a good career for kids that want to be in sports but not have the ability to play on a basketball or football field. So I was really excited about this program when they called me and said they wanted to take me up and make me a part of their program and do an analysis.
Yeah, another North Carolina native. I don't know if you're from. I mean, I know you would know who this guy is, Torrey Holt, who absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver for his time with the Rams. You know, he is actively promoting himself for the Hall of Fame, and I don't blame him because he belongs in. If it doesn't happen, are you going to be disappointed, or are you comfortable with your place as it stands in history?
Well, that's a great question. I've never given this whole Hall of Fame thing any thought at all until I got this phone call, and it sort of got my juices going about how big a member of the Hall of Fame. You know, if it doesn't happen this year or it never happens, I mean, I have my jersey retired at high schools, retired at the New Jersey Nets, one of the 50, you know, greatest ever played in ACC, Hall of Fame, University of Maryland, Hall of Fame, North Carolina Hall of Fame, the state of Maryland. So, I mean, if it doesn't happen, I mean, it's just kind of a crowning moment. if I'm able to get in the hall. But it is not going to change my life one way or the other. I kind of go back into the things I was doing before. I'm in the real estate investment, and just kind of, I always kind of kept my head down and worked and never gave much thought. Been very humble and in my career, the way I played and where I dealt with people. So it's not as much of a big deal to me, but I think it's much of a big deal, like, to my family and friends and guys that I played with. But either way, you know, I'm good either way.
Buck Williams is joining us here on The Adam Gold Show. Your numbers just from your time with the Nets, and we'll get to the college part of this, since it's not the NBA Hall of Fame, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I know that, for instance, your numbers compare favorably with Ralph Sampson. Sampson, of course, has his stardom, and he's a contemporary of yours to an extent, you know, from the University of Virginia. But at with the Nets, 16.5 points, 12 rebounds, 55% shooting from the field. You know, you weren't in as big a role, I guess, in terms of the minutes you played when you went to Portland, and then when you came to the Knicks at the end, you were obviously more of a bench player, a role player. But those defensive numbers and all that you accomplished just on the rebounding end of things puts you in very high company in the NBA.
You know, Adam, it's funny because I had this conversation with a friend of mine. You know, everything is slanted towards the offensive player in terms of getting to the hole.
Yeah.
And the recognition factor. And the league has changed. You know, the game now is a three-point shot, pretty much. Pick and roll, three-point shot. A shot out off the baseline, three-point shot. And if I tell my friends, if I would have retired and I would have been one of seven or eight players that average, you know, 20 points, and we say 20 points or 25 points, I'd have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm one of 78 players that averaged a double-double for 17 years. I'm when I retired, I was one of 13 all-time rebounders in the history of the NBA, and in the top three of offensive rebounders in the history of the game. So it's always, you know, the Hall in the past always giving the upper hand to the offensive player. And I think now they're beginning to recognize, you know, the defensive side of the ball. You know, Rodney got in, you know, Ben Wallace got into the Hall. So I begin to see a shift now with the nominating committee beginning to recognize guys like myself. You know, I mean, I have all defensive team, I have all NBA team. So, my percentage, you know, led the league in field goal percentage. I mean, I kind of touched on a lot of different things after scoring almost 17,000 points. So I did a lot. I was very consistent, very durable. And, you know, I thought I had a very good career, and I think I deserved to be in the Hall of Fame.
What impact do you think playing, you know, maybe the best part of your career with the Nets had?
It was phenomenal because that's the part of my career why I got the numbers, you know, and you have to remind everyone. There was a forward in the Eastern Conference by the name of Larry Bird when I came along.
Yeah.
Came in the year before I did. There was another forward in the NBA by the name of Dr. J.
Yep.
Who had other forward positions. So every All-Star game, it was tough to make the All-Star team because you had two of the greatest players to ever play the game in my conference. You had Moses Malone. He was the YC on your resume. You're second in rebounding for like 6 or 7 years. I was second because of a player by the name of Moses Malone,
yeah,
who was in the conference, who played, you know, one of the greatest players ever played the game. So, I mean, it was great playing in New Jersey, playing some great players, playing with some great players, Mike Ray Richardson, for one,
yeah,
his Birdsong, and a great coach in Larry Brown, which I think is probably one of the best coaches that ever coached on the bench.
Oh, Larry Brown is a basketball savant. Buck Williams is joining us here on The Adam Gold Show. I'm going to tell you a story about your number in a second and how it relates to my son. But you're also a star at the University of Maryland. I'd like to joke and call you a Big Ten legend, but obviously you did all your work in the ACC. Those teams were so good with you and Albert King and Ernie Graham. You guys were awesome back in the, I guess, late 70s, early 80s. I mean, that is as much the golden era of ACC basketball as any time.
Yes, it's so crazy because University of North Carolina recruited me. Dean Smith recruited me. He signed it out of Big Ten. He wanted me to come. He didn't push as hard as Lefty did. Lefty was at my front door every day. but ACC is the best conference, always been the best conference. I mean, you look at the players that came out of that conference, myself, Michael Jordan, James Worthy. I mean, the list goes, Tim Duncan, the list goes on and on. And when I came out of high school, I knew that I was going to play in ACC. I watched it all the time. Phil Ford, you know, who was my idol, you know, I watched him growing up playing with a cross in his mouth in my hometown of Rocky Mount,
right,
North Carolina. So ACC basketball is just the best conference in the country. And even to this day, it's still one of the best conferences in the country. And it really just molded my career because every game I was playing against the best players in the country. You know, that one year when Lefty put me in a center position, you know, I had to play against Mike Jaminski, Ralph Sampson, Moose Campbell Downing, and in Clemson, Larry Nance. So just by me, you know, playing in that conference and playing against that kind of competition, it really made me prepared me for the NBA. So I owe a lot, you know, of what I've accomplished by the fact that I played in ACC.
Buck Williams, one more thing before I tell you the story about your number 52. What was it like going up against Sampson at UVA?
Well, it was so funny because we could not recruit a center my last year in school. So Lefty, being the coach that he is, he said, Buck, I'm going to put you in the center. You're my horse. I'm going to put you in the center. So he throws me in the center position. At the time, I was like, wow, 6'8", 225 or whatever. And I had to develop a shot to shoot over those centers. So what the summer before my last year in school, before I left, the assistant coach, John Concat, came and said, Buck, we're going to develop a jump hook. So I developed this jump hook, and I was very proficient at it. You know, I would get to my spot and just jump up and just flick my wrist, and I could shoot it over Ralph, and I could shoot over centers. And that one summer really just made my career by playing that center position. And at that time, you know, Jaminski, Ralph, those dudes were the best players in the country. I held my own against Ralph, held my own against Mike Jaminski and all those centers, and the NBA scouts saw it, and my stock sort of took off. And I didn't look back from there, and I always played well against those guys and also became a better player because I had to learn how to maneuver around and over these centers.
It had to be a thrill for you to see Lefty go in to the Hall of Fame. If for no other reason than the salesmanship, turning Maryland in to what he said UCLA of the East back in the day. And actually, did he still claim to have recruited and signed Moses Malone?
Oh, that's his claim to fame. Every conversation he talks about is that we would have had Moses Malone stay in school. We'd have won 4 championships if Moses Malone was in school here in Maryland.
Tremendous, tremendous stuff. Before I let Buck Williams go, my son is playing organized basketball for the first time, and I've kind of glanced about this story before. He's never played basketball. He's 13, but he loves his school, so he just wants to play for his school. He didn't even care. He's a pretty fairly big kid on his team. I think he's the biggest kid on his team. He has no idea what he's doing, but he's got great hands and he's a really good rebounder. And when they issued uniforms, they issued him number 52.
Oh, and that's a great number.
And it's a great. And the first thing I said to him when he got in his car and he showed me his uniform, and I said, "Let me tell you about number 52." And his eyes are glazed over. He's not listening to me. But I was telling him the story because I wanted to say it. So I've told him all about your career. And what number 52 means to rebounders. And I wish you the best of luck. I hope you get in the hall, but I'm glad that you're doing well in Rocky Mount or wherever you're. I think you're in Rocky Mount, but whatever it is you're doing, and I just wish you all the best, and I appreciate your time.
Adam, thanks for coming to the show, man. I'm sure that your son take all his talents from your wife.
Yes, absolutely, because he's already taller than me. It's terrible. He's already passed me. He's 13 years old. Buck, I appreciate your time. We'll do it again.
All right, Adam. Thanks, man. Appreciate being on your show.
Take care. Buck Williams.
Have a good day.